This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are on Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here, Avi Miller over there.
Hello.
And, you know, for since we started this program together.
Yes.
Gosh, several months ago.
Months and months.
One of our first programs together was about...
what makes a good top, a bottoms perspective.
That's right.
And we packed the studio with bottoms.
We did. It was very easy.
We had to beat them off with sticks, quite frankly.
Exactly. Then we had planned to do the following week, the reverse.
Yeah, what makes a good bottom, a tops perspective.
Exactly. There were crickets.
Yeah, couldn't find one.
No.
Apparently had to ship them in from Sydney.
Apparently. So since October, September?
Yeah, thereabouts. Six odd months ago.
Yeah. We've been hunting for the tops. You more so than me.
Yeah, but that's no different from normal weeks. But what is interesting, more specifically, rather than just hunting for tops in dark spots in various places, hunting for tops that'll actually come on the radio and talk about being a top.
Yeah, that's right.
We found one. His name is Daniel. He joins us on Hide and Seek. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Hide and Seek.
Thank you.
Now, how do you define yourself?
I suppose I'm a dominant top.
A dominant top.
Hmm.
So how do you define dominant?
I like being in control.
Yeah.
I like being the rough partner.
Being the boss.
Yeah, being the boss. Yeah. You know, being the insertive partner, I suppose.
So it's physical as well as...
psychological.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not just the I'm going to tell you what to do, I'm also going to physically do certain acts and not others.
Yes, that's right. Mm. I mean, I think that it's quite psychological for me. I mean, I'm not really into... role playing per se, you mm-hmm. know. I like to think that I'm naturally dominant. Maybe I, you know, it probably has to do with my upbringing.
Oh, we can. Like we should have kept Dr. Chris Fox in here. We could have unpacked all of that. So, have you? Let's start at the beginning. Then, have you always been a dom top, or is this something that you learned was more your style over time?
I suppose I've only recognized it a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My very first boyfriend brought me to my very first Beyond party, right. Which was sort of a leather party. But, you know, he never really stuck back then. And that was like 10 years ago, I suppose. And then probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I went to the States and I encountered quite a few interesting people there, you know, and I got a membership with Recon.
Uh-huh.
And it sort of just went from there.
What was it 4 or 5 years ago that was different from the 10 years ago when you first went to Beyond?
I suppose my partner at the time said I was pretty controlling and, you know, sort of bossy. But, you know, in hindsight, I've done a lot of thinking about this. You know, ever since I was probably 6 years old, I used to have fantasies about superheroes,
uh-huh.
as you in six. But it was always me capturing them and like flogging them, which, you know.
So you're the evil genius is what you're saying. You're the bad guy.
I suppose.
Is it the evil genius or is it the hero though? In your own mind, Daniel, is it that? Was the superhero you were thinking of as a child? Was he still the hero? Yeah. Was the hero?
I think it was me being able to control or dominate someone who was so powerful.
And that leads to a fairly interesting question, I suppose, is when you look for potential partners, is there a particular type? You just said you like dominating powerful people.
Yeah.
Does that influence your partner selection?
I have done a lot of thinking about this as well.
Oh, good.
And, you know, I love subs.
Right.
You know, I really like submissive guys. But I don't like yes men. You know, yes sir, no sir sort of thing. I like a challenge, I suppose.
So what's the line? I mean, if somebody's naturally submissive, then the tendency is to be yes sir, whatever you say sir. Yeah. What's the line between too submissive and too, what I will say, bolshy or too precocious, too challenging?
Well, I like them to have an opinion. I like them to be able to, you know, think for their own selves so that I can counteract that. You know, it's a lot more control, it's a lot more power if you say no. Or when you get to say no.
Right. I like saying no. But I mean, and what is your reaction when they say no?
I have a disappointed face. Or I have a disappointed mood.
Right.
You know, I might not be sulking, or I might not be angry, or I might not scream and shout, but it's a lot about facial expression, I suppose, you know?
And have you, and maybe we should leave this for later, actually. Oh, no, I'm going to leave that question for later because it's probably could create a whole discussion.
Right.
So you are on Hot and Seek on Joy 94.9.
If you have any questions for what is clearly Melbourne's only top, SMS us 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au, particularly if you want to refute that premise and tell us that you are another one of Melbourne's miraculous tops.
Because the lesbians were telling us that their friends keep on having sword fights, so you know.
Yes, we want to hear if you are a top in Melbourne and you want to be counted, let us know. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's your program for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. Andrew, the apprentice, Avi Miller, are talking to Daniel, who's a dom top. Daniel, we were talking to John Caldwell earlier about bullying, and is there an ownership of the word bullying by dom tops at all? In it's used in a way that is actually descriptive of how you behave?
That's an interesting question.
Okay, obviously, in the way we were talking about it with John was a negative negative word, but I'm thinking that it potentially could be a word that's owned.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I don't. I online my profile name is Bully Dom, and that came about somebody who I met quite a few years ago sort of started calling me a bully, and I thought that's sort of interesting. But you know, it's I think that if a sub is a sub, they would submit, and if it's a dom is a dom, they would dominate, and it's not really about, you know, pushing someone to tears.
No.
Yeah.
It's not that at all. And as John was explaining, bullying is very it's ongoing. It's a target and it's a targeted negative.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I have bullied partners in the past, but you know, it's more teasing, I suppose. And it's a sign of affection.
And that's an interesting one, because is there a there's a known sort of, the doms tend to be very protective of their subs and very nurturing and very yes, controlling, but that, as you said, comes from a place of love and almost devotion. And a lot of people say the subs have all the control as well. How do you make sure that you don't cross a line with the bullying and the teasing to the point where it becomes a negative aspect of the relationship?
I think communication has to be, you know, pretty open. So if it does become negative, then we have to talk about it. You know, I'm not completely rigid. I'm pretty structured, but I'm not completely rigid in that way. You know, I like to hear opinions, and you know, I'm not gonna say no, or I'm not gonna say that's completely ridiculous without thinking about it first.
And I'm guessing it has to be a careful way, because as we were saying before, the wrong sub may not offer that option of talking to them. And then may not want to communicate because they think it's not what their role is as a sub.
Yeah. I mean, I would think from my experience, I've gotten pretty good at reading subs. You know, I like a sub who can read me as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, even before I say something, I want them to know what it is. Sort of, you know, from facial expression or like tone of voice or something like that. Yeah, so if a sub doesn't communicate, I mean, I suppose that's a really difficult one. You know, I tend to gravitate towards more intelligent subs, I suppose. You know, it's who would open up to me and who I can open up to new things.
Mouthy ones.
Not all the time. I don't like cocky subs.
Right.
You know, just like I don't like aggressive bottoms as well.
So we've had a message in from Nathan on 0427JOY949. Nathan wants to know, what aspect of humiliation comes into bullying, and can it be damaging to the sub's self-esteem?
I am not really into humiliation. Mm-hmm. You know, I like exhibitionism.
Right.
But, you know, because I love myself, and I think if we're out, they're sort of like a reflection of me.
And is that almost like look at what I'm presenting? This is I'm going to use the phrase, this is my property. But in that informed consent relationship of dom sub,
yes, yeah,
your presentation is, I'm going to expose my sub as an extension of me, and it does my reputation quite a—
Yes, that's right. And, you know, they would feel that they would be proud to be with me, and, you know, I would make them the center of attention because they were with me.
So does that center of attention, and I suppose a broader discussion is what sort of, I suppose, sexual acts are most involved for you? Is it purely penetrative sex? And in a social situation, is it a case of letting others help themselves or to the sub, I guess?
No, I mean, I'm quite possessive.
Yeah.
I'm quite protective in that way as well. I suppose sometimes I can be quite obsessive.
Yeah.
You know, you're going back to what you said about a sub being property. It's sort of ownership, you know. Yeah. I like collars, for example, and that's like a sign of ownership in public. So going back to your question about sex, I mean, I am pretty open about sex, and it doesn't have to be anal sex all the time. That's part of it. You know, it can be very powerful with the right sub bottom. Mm-hmm. But, you know, oral sex is a lot of fun for me as well. Yeah.
And is part of the power dynamic your presentation of a sub to someone else? I mean, would you use that as part of your domination strategy, if you like?
So sort of sharing in a public setting.
Public or private. I'm saying as that sort of proof of ownership, if you like. I'm your dob, you're my sub, it's an informed consent. Therefore, because you have consented to being submissive to me, I'm going to make the decision to let this person
sort of pimp you out.
Yeah.
In a way. I've never actually done that before.
Okay.
And I don't know whether it would be part of me. Just, you know, going back to the possessive part of things. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been with partners who, and we've played before with another person, but I've never, like, you know, say, all right, you take him and like go and do whatever you want to him, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because then I sort of feel that I've lost maybe I've lost some control, even though I've given that permission.
Is your preference when you're playing with someone else to play with another sub or another dom?
Depending on the mainly another sub, that might be quite greedy of me, I suppose. And then I've played with other doms before, and sometimes it doesn't really work so well because, you know, the dynamics is just not there, the chemistry is just not there. But, you know, I've played with a sub with another dom who I get along with really well, and that has gone down well as well. So,
and as you said before, you're not really into aggressive bottoms either.
Yes.
So, I take it you're meaning that by meaning people who are sexually aggressive bottoms, or who are not really submissive.
I like guys who take the initiative, you know. I mean, I don't want to be doing all the work all the time, but, you know, when I am, like, doing the fucking, you know, I don't like guys who, like, back up on you or something like that. You know, that's when I sort of, like, punch them down.
And on that note, I think we'll listen to a bit of music, cool ourselves down here in the studio. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
And Andrew and Navi are with you. We're chatting with Daniel Adom Top. So, Daniel, what's the most fun part about being a Dom Top?
I suppose owning something.
Owning something pretty.
Yes. I like beautiful things. And I like owning things.
What is, I love that, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the negotiation when you meet someone. Mm-hmm. How do you get from, hi, my name's Daniel, to, I'm going to put this collar on you and I'm going to own you in an informed, consensual kind of way. Mm-hmm. But what is that progression when you meet someone around that? Or do you always meet someone with this knowledge beforehand, like you've met online through a profile that already states this kind of stuff?
A few years ago, when I met boys, they never actually knew about that because it wasn't on my profile. I mean, now it's sort of on my profile. So, and I'm sort of quite more interested in people who know the background, so I don't have to explain it to them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I quite like sort of teaching someone how to be that way, or sort of molding someone into what I'm interested in. And that sort of worked quite a few times as well, you know, not just because I'm forcing them to do it, but because they want to do it for me.
And it becomes almost a mentor sub relationship as well. They would have to be somewhat submissive already, but you're sort of teaching them the nuances of a dom sub relationship in that sense.
Yeah, of what I want in a dom sub relationship, you know, because I mean they have to be naturally, they have to have the submissive instinct, I suppose, or tendencies, or whatever you want to call it.
What do you see as submissive instincts? What do you look for in a sub, for example?
I want someone who is loyal and loving and caring and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But also, I mean, loyalty is actually a big thing. But someone who can turn me on mentally, that's really good. And someone who would allow me to take control of the situation.
Does that include nights on the couch cuddling over a soppy movie?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is real life after all for me.
Because meeting you out or meeting you have an exterior, which, as you said before, may not actually reflect the home life.
Yeah, yeah.
So the home life is. I don't want to say normal,
yeah,
but normal things that a couple do that, you know, brunch on a Saturday and going to the movies and all that sort of stuff is the same.
Yes.
Maybe one of the benefits of a dom-sub relationship is you don't fight in IKEA.
Maybe if there is a fight, I always win.
I'm having the yellow cushions.
It's about having the final say, maybe.
And as an extension of that, how is that a 24/7 thing for you, or is it something that is only in a sexual situation or a social situation, or you know, if to use almost a silly example, if you're sitting down on the couch to watch a movie, do you always decide what movie you're watching?
No, but. Yeah. You see, it's not about me making the decision firsthand.
Yep.
You know, it's about them making a decision and me saying no.
So if they wanted to watch a movie that you didn't want to watch, you could just say no, and that would be it.
I suppose there might be a negotiation, but in an ideal world, that would be it. Mm. Yeah. I mean, and it's a lot about, you know, it comes. This might sound strange, but it comes quite naturally to me. I mean, I never even noticed it before until, you know, partners have said certain things. And, you know, why are you so controlling? Why are you so possessive? Why are you, you know, and to a certain degree, they've sort of changed in a way to want to make me happy.
And it could also be, it may not always be no either. It could be yes, because you retain control by saying yes as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I have noticed, you know, sometimes that when I'm really into a guy, I have allowed a lot of control to slip away.
Mm-hmm.
But once I noticed that happening, then it stops, and you know, it sort of kind of reverses, and you know, and we have this discussion as well. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not interested in like letting control or this control go. So it's either I'm the boss or, you know, something
my way or the highway.
Yeah, pretty well, I suppose. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of harsh, but you know, and people have called me harsh many times in the past.
But if it makes you happy,
yeah, and if it makes me happy, then I'll make them happy. But it should make them have to make me happy.
Just shake that ass, on it, baby.
Joy.
Get on it. Just shake what your mama gave you. Get on it.
That's right. This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. Andrew the Apprentice here, being a little bit in control tonight, telling Avi what to do and get rid of songs.
Yes, I have been pushing, not Andrew's buttons, I've been pushing the computer's buttons, and I'm quite happy to push the computer's buttons.
Yes. You don't, anyway.
I like pushing buttons.
You do.
I like buttons that light up when I push them, quite frankly. That's the only reason I do this, is because the buttons light up when I push them.
Daniel is our guest tonight. He's a dom top, and we're speaking all things dom top-ish. Now, Daniel, you said at the beginning that you've reflected on this quite a lot over the years, and how you got to this point in your life.
Yeah.
So, what have been some of the things you've reflected on that have indicated to you that this is sort of the right path to go down?
I suppose, you know, my most successful relationships or maybe in the kind of guys who I'm most interested in are guys who are most submissive to me. And it really turns me on to be in control, especially in a public setting, of a sub or whoever I'm with, or, you know, to sort of parade them around while I'm being parading myself around, maybe.
It's a very different mentality to many other gay relationships. many other gay relationships seem that there's, you know, an equal power sharing balance or relatively equal power, power sharing balance. People don't express the same sort of things that you're expressing now, at least not publicly. being able to express how you express what you're expressing now is quite a leap, quite a change, quite a difference, I guess. I'm just wondering if there's any sort of key points along that you went, okay, you know, this is, or whether there were things from your background that went, that makes sense that this, I want to be in these dom relationships now because of that.
I mean, I suppose one key thing was that I realized that I couldn't change how I was. You know, it was just sort of in me. And
to be assertive.
To be assertive, to be sort of controlling, to be sort of bossy, to be possessive.
Is it also a case of being a bit more removed from others to get to give yourself some space or from others?
From others, as in who?
Partners.
Not necessarily. I mean, I am a pretty playful guy, but I sort of yearn or do look for sort of like this one person who would compliment me.
Was there a time, I mean, you know, you mentioned before that you had previous relationships who had told you that you were bossy and you were domineering. Was there a time where before you kind of, you turned it to your advantage, if you like, was there a time when you said, I probably should work on this, I should be less bossy, I should be less controlling, I should try and be more, you know, sensitive, to the needs. How did that go?
Well, it didn't go so well because I suppose I was sort of, I felt that I wasn't really being myself. And I think that realization came after I came back from the States that, you know, I'm sort of not this person really. And I feel that I can be the person that I am, and there might be, and there are guys who are interested and who are maybe the opposite.
I suppose, yeah, that realization that not everyone dislikes having a bossy, dominant boyfriend.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What was, so you come back from the States, you have this sort of slow realization that, hey, I don't need to change being a bossy, dominant person. I can just look for somebody who is a subby. How did you sort of go about, what were those first sort of steps out into being a self-actualized dom like?
I suppose I got more into the leather scene in Melbourne. You know, I met more people and sort of realized that, you know, there are people out there who are dominant as well, or are submissive as well, and that's okay, and that's sort of normal, and it might be every day as well. And I, you know, I changed my profile and made it a little bit more obvious, even on pretty tame like Grindr, maybe, you know.
Do you there is this sort of long-standing, I'm going to use the word tradition, but that's not quite the right word, but they say the best dom is somebody who was a sub, somebody who has learned to be a sub makes the best dom kind of thing. Have you ever sort of explored being submissive to see what it's like in that space, or have you always just naturally been dominant?
I've never actually explored it. I mean, I have thought about that question. But, you know, I suppose it comes quite naturally to me to be this way. I'm not like, I suppose I'm not really putting on a face.
Did you feel the need to find any dom mentors for yourself when you were first sort of exploring how to be a dominant in a power imbalanced relationship? Did you?
I mean, I read a lot of blogs about, you know, sort of sub-dom relationships and how the sort of power play would work. And I sort of thought about it a lot as well. And I spoke to quite a few people, not necessarily dorm mentors, but subs and what they were interested in. And I sort of tested out the waters. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work. You know, sometimes I was satisfied, sometimes I wasn't satisfied. So,
and I think that's on reflection, something our bottoms were saying about tops is about talking to other, talking to tops.
Yeah.
And about how to find out what they like and what they want.
And I suppose one of the things that the bottoms also was speaking about is changing to suit the style of the top, and tops changing to suit the style of the bottom. It also, you know, it implies that doms would, the right sub matches the right dom, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you can think of it in sort of like, in my perspective, it's sort of molding as well. You know, like I want whoever I'm with to be the best person that they can be. So, you know, I want them to dress a certain way. I want them to have their hair cut in a certain way. I don't want them to say certain words, you know. Maybe. Is that too much?
No. Look, we've known you socially for a while, and I think that the one thing is that you seem to be quite successful at this, at least recently. So on that note, we are going to go to a few sponsorship announcements, a bit of music. You are on Hide and Seek here on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek.
Your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. We've got Daniel with us. He's a dom top.
He is. And we're talking all things dob, all things sub. Daniel was saying off air during the break that the latest social event, you had a new boy who is in training. Is that a good way to put it?
No.
Do you train?
I think to a certain degree I do train indirectly.
Groom.
Mold. I like fast learners. I would say that. I mean, I'm quite patient, but you know, they have to come to the party as well.
Do they have to be totally green, or can you have a sub that's experienced?
I think that if a sub is experienced, that could be interesting. I don't think I've actually had a sub who was experienced. Maybe to a certain degree, they would be experienced.
But then on the other hand, if they're too experienced, they're not going to, well. They might have bad sub habits. Yeah. And the grooming may actually be problematic.
Yes, that's right. Or they might, and I've noticed this actually recently, they might already be influenced by somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the bad habit that is difficult to break.
We spoke right at the beginning about the need for communication. If we took, you know, sort of a leather party or a dance party as an example, how much preparation goes into the beforehand? Like, for example, would you sit down and say, okay, these are the rules for tonight's party. You are going to wear this. You are going to do this. We're going to stand here. Is it more fluid? How do you approach sort of those sorts of social events?
I mean, I think it is a lot more fluid. It's a lot more natural. If something happens in that party and then the next party comes along, then I would say, actually, you know, maybe do this, don't do this sort of thing. And then we'll see if any rules get broken. I'm big on rules, you know, because like if you communicate and you set certain rules, then at least there's expectation.
So when you say you set rules, are these verbal rules? Do you go to the point of having, I do know doms and subs, maybe masters and slaves who go to the point of actually having a contract.
Yeah.
How official, if you like, are these rules?
I mean, I, like in, years ago when I sort of first started, I suppose, it was unwritten and a lot of it was assumption based on, you know, them knowing me and what would make me happy and what would make me unhappy and would have the disappointed face. And I think that sometimes doesn't work that well. So sometimes you do have to like express yourself. And that's what, you know, one thing that I've learned throughout the years as well, that, you know, if you don't communicate verbally, it's not going to be easy. But nothing sort of like written down, you know, that's sort of, I don't think that's necessary.
But could you see a point where you'd want that level of conformance, if you like, or level of submission to the point where it is actually not legally contractual, but contractual in the emotional sense and in the written sense? You're both signing up to at least a set of ground rules.
I think that it's a lot more powerful if there isn't that written contract. So that, you know, it's like bondage. Okay, I'm not a huge fan of bondage because, you know, some guys say, oh, you know, if you tie me up, then I'll do whatever you want. Or if you do this, then, you know, if you put me in a situation where I can't escape, then you've got total control of me. But, you know, I would prefer that even if you're not in that situation, I still have total control of you. You still do whatever I want. So it's a psychological bondage, I suppose, in a way.
What are your words of advice for someone who, as we talked about your self-realization process earlier, and what are your sort of key words of advice to someone who goes, you know, I'm assertive, I know what I want.
I'm a bit bossy, maybe.
I like things a certain way.
Yeah.
What are your words of advice for someone to then take the next step, I guess, or next few steps?
I suppose, like, one thing which I did rather late was that I didn't actually reflect a lot, you know, with, like, what exactly is making me this way. Is it because I'm a dom top? Or is it because I'm just being annoying? But
fine lines, I might say.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but my advice should, you know, to sort of think about it and maybe talk to a few people. I love talking about stuff like this in any sort of setting. Yeah.
Well, you're the only person who volunteered to come on the radio and talk to us and all of our listeners. So
yeah, I'm surprised. Maybe, you know, I'm the only top in Melbourne.
We'll have a t-shirt made for you. The only top in Melbourne.
Well, you know, like, maybe I shouldn't say this on air, but I do have this sort of world view that, you know, everyone else I meet, for the first time, I assume they're a bottom.
that's you know, perfectly just, reasonable.
Yeah. And like most of the time, it's true. But even if they're a top, that doesn't mean they won't submit.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, to coin a phrase, you are on Hide and Seek. Thank you so much, Daniel, for coming telling us about dom-toppedness. You can find Daniel out and about. What he said tonight floats your boat. I'm sure you'll recognize him.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.